So, commencing with some background, the clean energy transition has been marketed as the dominant technological mitigation approach to address climate change. In the lead up to the COP26, many wealthy nations have released policy platforms that incentivize a shift from fossil fuel intensive energy systems to material intensive systems. This material transition is predicted to create enormous demand for so-called critical minerals, culminating in over 3 billion tons of minerals predicted to be needed over coming decades. The potential for negative consequences on human rights and ecological systems from such a massive expansion of mining activities has yet to be adequately factored into the new emerging green economic policies. Substituting carbon-intensive energy with cleaner technologies does not necessarily free our economies of their dependence on finite resources. Neither is it really empirically determined yet as to whether transitioning to clean energy is feasible without systemic change to address the large levels of emissions by wealthy nations, heavy polluting industries, and the luxury carbon emitters. Governments are currently not questioning endless growth, excessive consumption, ecologically damaging resource practices, and global inequalities. Instead, they are creating subsidies for techno fixes and green growth approaches. Whilst that starts to address the issue of burning immense amounts of fossil fuels, green growth hides the systemic root causes of the climate crisis, whilst minimizing the alternatives emerging from resistance struggles. We are examining this phenomenon as through the lens of extractivism, particularly as it relates to mining. Over history, mining has been associated with conflicts and violent resource frontiers. By resource frontiers, we mean places where the resources are found and where external forces, such as companies, enter to extract those resources, often without the consent from people already living in or reliant on those places for livelihoods or cultural heritage. This often involves violence that is invisible to the majority of those who end up using the commodities. Mining has been the most deadly sector for environmental deadlift defenders, according to Global Witness reports. Many of the most destructive companies are set to capture the bulk of so-called opportunities from greening the economy, which is starting to exacerbate existing impacts and create new sacrifice zones with devastating impacts on local communities and ecosystems, as several scholars have started to write about. We are finding from the literature review and from emerging case study accounts from the front lines that the global expansion of extractive activities for the green energy transition is creating new resource frontiers, risking human rights abuses, conflict, and violence in similar ways to past neo-colonial expansionism, thus having the potential to systematically replicate deeply unequal historical injustices between the global north and the global south. Within this context, Australia is pegged by many industry experts and being propelled by their ally, the United States, to play a key role in the mining of key transition minerals. Australia is one of the biggest players in the global mining industry, holding 40% of the market total share. Some of the largest mining companies come from Australia, including Rio Tinto and BHP. Extractive settler colonial narratives have held sway here since the expropriation of First Nations lands by the British Empire in 1788, thus shaping politics and national identity in Australia. For example, the White Australia policy was in large part a strategy to capture land over mineral resources from non-Europeans. Mining concerns that continue today include failures to respect Indigenous rights, the continued pollution of waterways, land clearing, and legacy issues of abandoned mining sites. Australia has a political and economic environment that is supportive of mining. There's a revolving door between resource-based government officials and the Australian Minerals Council. Recently, the IMF identified Australia as one of the four nations that could enjoy an extra 1% growth in gross domestic product, building on critical mineral exports if the world achieved net zero emissions by 2050. After speaking to the Quad recently on securing access to critical minerals deemed essential for a clean energy future, Scott Morrison declared Australia's role was very important due to our immense ability to be really good at digging stuff up. So Australia is the world's largest producer and exporter of lithium. Lithium is a metal required in greatest quantities for electric vehicle batteries and is in rapid increasing demand as more countries commit to electrification of transport. Rio Tinto's head of economics recently said EV sales are on track to hit up to 55% of the world's total light vehicle sales. Rio argues that 80% of the supply will need to come from new mining projects. Australia's lithium exploration and project expansion is both domestic and global. Domestically, projects are concentrated in the Pilbara region in Western Australia. Overseas, Australian companies are expanding in the lithium triangle of Bolivia, Argentina and Chile in the salt flats at great risk to hydrological and ecological cycles, as well as Indigenous cultural practices. In Quebec, in Canada, Sayona Mining is developing a hard rock lithium project, which is impacting on ancestral lands of First Nations people. Rio Tinto is also involved in the contested Jadar Mine project, where there is much resistance in Serbia. Australian companies are also seeking to explore for lithium in conflict regions such as the Democratic Republic of Congo. Moving to rare earths, another important mineral for wind turbines and electric vehicles. Rare earth minerals are predicted to increase in demand by 1,000% to meet clean energy transition requirements by 2050. The extraction process of rare earths is extremely environmentally damaging, involving wastewater and tailing ponds that risk leaking acids, heavy metals, and radioactive elements. Rare earth mining has long been dominated by Chinese-owned companies who control 80% of the world supply. However, Australia is increasingly being called upon to secure access to this critical mineral to its allies, particularly the US. Rare earths is also used in military equipment. Rare earth mining has also resulted in incredible amount of polluted communities and destroyed landscapes in China. And we'll hear today from concerns from Malaysia. Currently, Australia accounts for more than half of the new rare earth element projects in the global pipeline, despite the country only containing about 2.8% of the world's reserves. Australia is negotiating trade agreements with China, the US, and other world powers in order to retain its share of the global market. The hubs for rare earths in Australia are located in Western Australia, and new explorations are underway in South Australia, Victoria as well. Lynas is our biggest company in the rare earth sector. It mines in Western Australia and operates a processing plant in Malaysia. Australian companies are also investing in rare earth metals in Canada, the US, Tanzania, Malawi, and Sierra Leone.